Amen, amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God this morning. And if you would, take your Bibles. I want to show you a few verses. We're going to look at Genesis 1 this morning and Jeremiah 1. Hold your place in Genesis 1, actually. As you know the verse, we'll read or quote together verse 1. And then go to Jeremiah 1 and also hold your place there. We'll read that in just a couple minutes in Jeremiah 1. And then find Acts 17, please. Acts 17. And we're going to read verses 24 through 28. Very simple message this morning. Now, I'm going to say this because I have very, compared to my normal amount of notes, I have a very small amount of pages here that are notes. So Brother Joel is thinking he's going to get out of church early this morning. That may or may not be the case. If you were to read what I have here, you would say, we are getting out early this morning. If you know me, then you know better. So anyways, let's go to Acts 17. Let's stand together, shall we? Acts 17, verse 24. This is when Paul is on Mars Hill, and he saw all the superstitious idols that they have, the altars, and he found an altar that was inscripted to the unknown God. He told them they ignorantly worship him, so he wants to tell them about him. So he says in Acts 17, verse 24, God that made the world. So, I know you know these things already. They didn't. So imagine hearing it for the first time. As an adult, you've been worshiping. You're like, who made the world? Well, they all did. All these gods were involved. You got the God of this and the God of that. And here in Acts, I mean, the Romans had a mixture of different beliefs because you had a huge influence of Greek mythology in with the Romans. I mean, you had a massive influence of that. But also they conquered so many different peoples who had different beliefs that all that was intermingled as well. And so there might have been a majority of the Roman version of Greek mythology. So when you study the Greek mythology and you study Roman beliefs, then you find that really the Romans believed pretty much the same thing that the Greeks did. They had different names for their gods. All right, so you had the goddess of war, Athena, in Greek mythology, or the goddess of victory, Nike, in Greek mythology. But you still had that in Roman beliefs. It just had a different name to it. And there was, it wasn't apples to apples. It wasn't the same thing, obviously, but it was pretty much the same thing. So they had all that already to begin with. They prayed to their ancestors that passed on. They believed their ancestors were watching over them. They prayed to them. They created little idols, that were shaped or to look like, to resemble their family members or their parents that passed on. And they would set them up with candles around them, and they would pray to them. And so they had all of these different beliefs. And so Paul says to them here in Acts chapter 14, verse 20, or 17, verse 24, God, capital G there, God that made the world. So I'm telling you now, there's one God. He made the world and all things therein. Everything exists because of this one God. So they're hearing this for the first time, and they're going, who is this guy? Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So that's a smack in their face right away. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. The other thing that the Romans believed was that the Greeks especially, now the Greeks have been conquered. They're still Greek people around, and they've intermixed now with the Romans, but they believed their gods thrived off of the worship of mankind, and they only survived if mankind worshiped them. And the more mankind worshiped them, the more power they had. And so he's saying, God, he said, needeth, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God doesn't need that. He is God. Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why? Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I do believe that if somebody is seeking truth, God's going to reveal it to them. Whether they accept that truth or not, that's a different story. But if somebody's going to seek truth and say, listen, there's got to be more, there's got to be truth there, God's going to reveal that truth, whether it's through a soul winner or through some other means, but God's going to do so. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. It's interesting, we're not going to get into it, but when you start to read certain of the poets of that day, you find some popular names that we know of today that acknowledge the existence of a God but didn't have a faith in that God. And Paul addressed that. It's certain of your own poets have even said this. But the title of the message this morning is found in verse 28. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. So let's get into it this morning and ask for God's help. Our God in heaven, Lord, we do need you this morning, and I know that there's just a gathering of your people here this morning, and that's not at the fault of anyone else. I don't want anybody to have a guilt trip over not being here or feel like that's the intention. I do thank you for those who have gathered, and so, Lord, I thank you that you set up the situation so that my family and I can live right next door to the church, and if nothing else, we can just walk over here and preach your word on a camera so others can hear, have something to hear. I know there's other means that they can use, but I thank you that for those of our church family who felt a need to just felt an obligation even to maybe tune into this message. I know our camera is not the best, and maybe the audio is not the best right now. We would need your help in getting those things taken care of as well. That's our goal this year, one of our goals. But Lord, at this time, I pray that you would help us to tune into what you have for us. And Lord, protect those today. And thank you for your love and goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You can have a seat. Go back to Jeremiah 1, if you would. And if you can, save your place in Acts 17. Jeremiah chapter 1. It's another familiar passage of Scripture when God ordained Jeremiah or told him that he had already ordained him. This wasn't the ordination of Jeremiah. The Bible says that before he was formed in the belly, God knew him and ordained him a prophet. And so, the title of the message this morning is, in him we have our purpose. In him we have our purpose. And we're getting the in him part from Acts chapter 17. And the purpose is implied in we live and move and have our being. All right? That's our purpose. We live with purpose. We move with purpose. We have our being with purpose. All of these things are found in God. Without God, what is our purpose, right? Without God, what purpose do we have? But in Jeremiah chapter 1, God literally tells Jeremiah some specifics about what his purpose is. Just for fun, before we get started this morning, it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message, except it does show us, as we read in Acts chapter 17, regarding how God created all things. I mean, all things are created by God. And Paul told the people in Athens in Acts chapter 17, he said, God made the world. Do we believe that? Amen? God made the world, and God made all things therein, the Lord of heaven and earth. And then he talked about worship, but God made all things. Just because of the weather today and what's going on, I had Brother Hunter do some quick research for me. I knew it was there, but it was really a thought at the last minute. And so Job chapter 9 and verse 30, if you want to turn there, you can. But it says in Job chapter 9 and verse 30, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean. So listen, just get out there, get some snow water. And we have Bible power right here, Bible authority, that you're going to have clean hands from snow water. All right. So just, my wife is looking at me like, what are you doing? I need your support, not your criticism, babe. All right. I am your husband. And so you need to support me. No matter, I am who God made me to be. All right. So, all right. Job chapter 24 says this. I'm not done, babe. Job chapter 24. And I think that says verse 19. It might be verse 17. It's 19. Drought and heat consume the snow waters, so doth the grave those which have sinned. That's a great picture right there, isn't it? Drought and heat consumes the snow waters. How many of you in here today love the snow? Raise your hand. You're thankful for it. You're like, I like this. Brother Glenn's hand is like way up. It's awesome. Miss Juliana's hand is up. Brother Hunter's hand is not up. And so we have a marital problem already there. Neither one of you raised your hand. Okay. But Brother Joel is here. And so evidently did he enjoy getting out in it, Miss Linda? Was he like, when I was a boy out in Michigan? Was he telling those stories? Was he telling those stories? He wasn't. Okay. We'll see how the roads are and we'll go. And he wasn't bragging on the way here or nothing. Okay, good. So it's not a pride thing for you. All right. This is a faithful family to our church. I do recall in churches I've worked at before that there were people who were not faithful to church, but somehow when it snowed, they were there. And it was like, I'm not going to let the snow keep me from church. What kept you from church 2 weeks ago when it was 65 degrees? But, you know, there was a pride issue there for them. But not with the folks here. We got our folks. Now, listen, if you're home and you don't like the snow, stay home. Okay? Stay safe. We want you to do that. All right. And so Job 37, this is just regarding the day. I think it helps lighten the mood. This is how I make short messages longer, by the way. Job 37, verse 6. For he saith to the snow. Now, I do love this verse. This is talking about God's wondrous works. We just read about that in Acts 17, so it does relate to the message. All right? And this is what the verse I was looking for. Job 37, verse 6. The Bible says, for he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. I mean, so I don't look out here and say, I hate this. It kills the ministry. We didn't run the van this morning. And we could be bummed. And yeah, we love seeing these kids. And sure, we miss them. But I don't sit here and go, I hate this. Shaking my head. I remember one day I was standing at the glass window of the doors at the church I was working at. And I was standing there with some key men. And they were just shaking their heads. It was snowing outside. It was dumping. The parking lot was full. A big church, a lot of men shoveling snow and plowing the parking lot, and yet they couldn't keep up because the snow was so hard. And one of the men just goes, this is terrible. And I said, why? I said, isn't this beautiful? And he looked at me and goes, no, this is terrible. And I said, can I ask why? He goes, it kills the ministry. And I'm like, don't you think God knew about this before it snowed, that it was going to snow? I don't think God's sitting there going, this is terrible. What am I going to do about this? He's not. He's not dumbfounded by this. He's not going, oh no, what am I going to do? And so the Bible says right here in Job 37 verse 6, for he, God, saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. So today God said to the snow, be on the earth. And guess what? It's on the earth. The snow obeyed God. We ought to obey God. Amen? And likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength, he sealed up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. It's great. Then we have Job 38, verse 22. So just as much as God can give us storms, God can also give us fair weather. Now, there's a spiritual application here too. God can give us storms in our lives as well. Amen? And he has, hasn't he? Now, some of the storms you've created on your own. But yet God can still give fair weather in those areas. So in Job chapter 38, and verse 22, the Bible says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? So if you don't like snow, God just said there's treasures in the snow. So listen, you have a problem with God if you don't like snow, because it says in verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Now I'll tell you, there are treasures of the hail. What's that? Well, when hail falls on your roof and the roof company comes out, the insurance company says, hey, do you have hail damage? They find out you have hail damage. They replace your roof. And oftentimes when they replace your roof, they bid higher than what the cost of the roof was. And you get some cash flow money after that job is done. So Brother Glenn, if you haven't had the roof inspectors come out and check out hail damage on your roof, you may not be leaking. It doesn't matter. If they find granules in your gutter, and if they find damage on your air conditioner unit, and they find damage on your roof, they will replace your roof. They'll bid for everything that has hail damage, and you just have them replace what you want replaced, and you get the money for the rest. So there's treasures in the hail. Amen? Amen. All right. Anyways, what I'm saying is this. God is an awesome God. I know I messed around a little bit there, but he is an awesome God. He has all power and all ability. And I love how Paul worded it in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now in Jeremiah 1, our key verse is going to be in verse 5. But let's pick it up a little bit before that. Verse 1 and 2, Jeremiah is saying, God came to me in a certain time and a certain place in the days of Josiah. These would have been good days, the days of Josiah. That's why we named our son Josiah. Josiah was a king amongst a bunch of wicked kings that did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he served God. He honored God. And God told Josiah, because of that, I'm going to honor you and your reign, but after you, I'm still going to fulfill my promise to Israel that they're going to be punished for their sins. But for your reign, it's going to be all good. And so the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah during that time, during a time of a spiritual high. And he told Jeremiah, it's not always going to be this good. After Josiah, it's going to get terrible. And then it says in verse 3 that it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So God spoke to Jeremiah during the days of Josiah, and God spoke to him also during the days of Josiah's son, Jehoiakim, under the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah. So Zedekiah would have been the last king. And the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. All that is saying is this: God came to Jeremiah and said to Jeremiah some things during the good reigns of Josiah, but also during the terrible reign of Jehoiakim his son, all the way to Zedekiah, where the people were taken captive by Babylon into captivity. Jeremiah was the preacher during all of those times, and it was a very, very, very hard time for him. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, you find that God had Jeremiah say some things that were very hard to say to people he loved and to people who wouldn't listen to him. And Jeremiah himself would have been ridiculed and criticized and was under great persecution because of it. But here's what God said to Jeremiah in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This goes right along with what Paul said, people on Mars Hill. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. God said, note your purpose, verse 7. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. The coming years are going to be hard, Jeremiah. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy. They would be destroyed by Babylon. Then, 70 years later, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. There's a promise following that. We're not going to read it. The rod of an almond tree, talking about Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:1. Either read it or quote it with me, would you? Ready, begin. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John 1, verse 1, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I already said it, but one thing we've got to get in our heads, we've got to not take for granted. One thing that becomes very common to us is this fact that God created. Amen? In Him, we have our being. We live and move and have our being. It's because of Him and in Him that these things are true. He is the architect and creator of all things, God Himself. And the Bible even says there in verse 2 of John 1:1, I read verse 1 to you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Back in where we began in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And it says in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of all the earth. God has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. And in verse 28, I've said it, I'm going to say it multiple times in this message. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We are His offspring. We're His offspring. Now, it may not be too amazing to you, but it is. I always had a different illustration for a point like this. It was always regarding Chloe. But we're moving off of you, Chloe. We're moving Josiah. We just went to Texas. And it was warm in Texas. And we were able to go to the Gulf. Right there in the Galveston area. And Joe had seen the beach before, but he was how old? 10 months? 10 months old. So he doesn't remember. He was super excited to go to the beach. He kept asking about it. He kept talking about it. He wouldn't stop. I want to see the beach. And he didn't know what was in store for him. He didn't realize. And so we get there, and we had our Christmas on Thursday. On Friday, I worked pretty much the whole time on drywall, but we had a few hours we were able to go to the beach, and we went there, and there were people playing on the beach, and And it was an area where at first it was a modest area. So people were just, I think it wasn't planned that they went out there at that time. And so people kind of did what we did. And so Josiah started going out there with Papaw. And he kind of walked, following along kind of sheepishly with Papaw. I watched him go out there and he got close. But I mean, he's looking around. He's seen it, but he doesn't remember seeing just the vastness of, it's the ocean. I mean, it's the Gulf, but it's the ocean. You can't see land out there at all. We saw barges. The waves were huge. I mean, they were huge. And I could see where there was a riptide out there off to the right. And so we were like, you're not going any farther than calf deep or knee deep. You know, he eventually got himself soaking wet. He had a blast. He found, I don't know how many shells out there, some snail shells and other kinds of shells. And Levi found a really cool one. I don't know if he brought it home with him. But they had an awesome time. And I remember Josiah talking about just how awesome it was. And we talked just briefly about how cool it is that God could make such a thing. And he asked where all this water came from and how it all got there. And he asked, is all of this water kind of remains from the flood, Dad? Is this all, you know, after the, because of the flood? And I was like, well, no, there was water before, but the earth was full of water. God made the dry land appear. But maybe some of it is. I don't really know for sure, you know, exactly how much water is left from the flood versus how much was before or anything like that. But I mean, he was just amazed by it. Now, you and I go there and we're like, it's cool. It's pretty to look at. It's neat. But we've seen it before, right? We've seen it before. We've been there before. We've been there, done that. I think most of us have. I'm looking around. Mr. Julian's from Oklahoma City. You've never, Brother Hunter. Brother Hunter, come on, man. You have got to get on this, bro. All right, so Brother Hunter has a new job. I'm going to give them time off, and they're going to go to Alaska to see the ocean. Does that work? Freezing cold, no sandy beaches. At least people would be dressed modestly. Amen? Okay. Anyways, so Juliana will get there, and she'll be like, this is amazing. This is phenomenal. I've never seen anything like this. Honey, is all of this left over from the flood? And she will be absolutely shocked by it. Absolutely shocked and amazed. Now, I'm glad it worked out that way in the illustration, because it may not be amazing to you anymore. But whether or not it's amazing to you, it's still amazing, isn't it? Go to Colossians 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. See these off-the-cuff illustrations too? You know, where somebody's able to actually be a part of the illustration that wasn't planned to be, helps the message to go a little longer as well. And so that's a blessing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you for that, Ms. Julian. I appreciate it. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Look at this. And for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Romans 11:36, I'll read this for you. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1, if you want to turn there, you might get there before I finish reading these three verses. You might know these verses. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Verse 10 of Hebrews 11 says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. See, it's amazing whether or not it's amazing to us anymore or not. It is. In the beginning, when there was nothing, God created everything. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. Hebrews 11:3, what I just read, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. 2 Peter 3:5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. God created all things. God created all things by his word. God created all things, and that's what we just said. God created all things by his word, and God created all things by his power. Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. Jeremiah 10:12, he hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. It is amazing. Listen, it is amazing. What we see out there, I know we don't like it. It hurts our fingers, all right? I got out there and I'm dumb. I didn't use gloves. And I wanted to warm up the truck just in case somebody like Brother Joel was on his way to a church today, or Brother Glenn, and or Brother Hunter, and or anybody else, and they got stuck in a ditch. I thought, well, I'll have my four-wheel drive truck ready to go. So I warmed it up, and I did. I warmed it up, but when I got back out there, there's still snow on the windshield, although it was you know, melting. I could have used the windshield wipers to get the snow out of the way, but I used my hands without gloves, and it was freezing. I mean, I have a sensitivity to that, and my hands just became instantly numb, and it hurt as they started thawing out. And so these things we don't like, but it is amazing to look at it from inside your house where it's warm, looking out the window, drinking a nice hot cup of coffee or hot chocolate, and still listening to Christmas music at this time of the year. Let us know, let us know, let us know. But it is amazing. Regardless, right? It is amazing. The sun coming up in the morning is not new to you and me. But can you make the sun come up in the morning? No, it is amazing. It's beautiful. It's amazing that God created it. All you have to do is look around and see that. All you have to do is just look at God's creation and be amazed by it. We've got to be like that child and get to the place again where we realize for the first time, God is amazing. Like Josiah, I know he'd seen it before, but really this is probably a memory now that he's going to have for a while. And he was like, this is awesome. He was so excited. He's shaking his head no right now because he just wants to be difficult. But he was absolutely amazed by it. And just like, wow. And we need to get to that place with God where we say, wow, God, you are amazing. You're amazing that you saved me. You're amazing that you created me. You're amazing that you blessed me. You're amazing that you give me family. You give me love. You give me church family. You give me clothing. You give me a church to go to with heat. I mean, God, you're an amazing God. You're amazing that you have a plan for my life. You have purpose for my life. You're amazing that you have a future home in heaven for me. God's amazing. He is. We've got to get back to that place. To see God for who he is and ourselves for who we are. To be like David and be humbled that God would even be mindful of us. Psalm 8, verse 3. Through 9, when God said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Verse 1, David said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And that is the proper mindset about God. You see, we've got to have that. If we don't begin our day with the proper mindset about God, then we've started wrong. We've started wrong. And if you have the wrong start, you'll end up in the wrong place. So go back to the beginning and start right. In the beginning, God. Start your day with that. In the beginning,
God.
Have a beginning with God. It takes a great amount of faith to be an evolutionist, doesn't it? To believe in evolution? To believe that we evolved over billions of years from a tiny amoeba that was floating in water. Nobody explains where the water came from. Or that there was a Big Bang theory that happened from a bunch of gases, but nobody explains where the gases came from. Too many gaps. It'd be a lot easier to believe by faith the words of the psalmist in Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as in heat. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Perhaps the most intricate of all creation is the human body. Psalm 139, turn there please, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13. The Bible says here, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." That's beautiful. And Paul, back in Acts chapter 17, begins his address to those on Mars Hill by saying, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." That should humble us, and here's why it should humble us. It should humble us because we weren't just created. It's not that God just created the earth. That's amazing enough. And God did all of this. And in him you live and move and have your being. But here's the deal. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26 that God not only made man, but in Genesis 1:26, God made you in his image. He could have just made you. But he went a step further, 1,000 steps further, and he made you in his image. That's humbling. The very God that David was humbled by, the very God that holds all of that power in Genesis 1, made us in his image. In Genesis 5:1 says, "In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, in the likeness of God made he him." Genesis 9:6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." See, it's important. And if we don't think it's important, now we realize how important it is, because he established capital punishment based on the fact that man was made in God's image. And Apostle Paul tells us that we need to be renewed in the knowledge every day by putting on the new man every day. Why? Why do we need to put on the new man every single day of our life, Christian? Because Colossians 3:10 says we were created after the image of God. James 3:9 says we're made after the similitude of God. So back to Jeremiah 1, if you would. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah in our text says in verse 2, "To whom the word of the Lord came." In verse 3, "It came also." In verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying." Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that would have been an awesome experience to have the word of the Lord 3 different times come to me verbally. I don't know if it was in a dream. I don't know. It doesn't tell us exactly how God came to him, through a manifestation of God of some sort, like did to Abraham. We don't know exactly, but the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah by, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the what? Holy Ghost. So there we have it. But that would have been quite an experience. Or God spoke to him, like maybe Abraham or Moses, or how he was humbled when God spoke to him, or how his life was changed, or I think of Solomon. I think of Saul on the road to Damascus. And just saying that that would have been awesome, but here's why it would have been awesome. It would have been awesome because the Word of God is powerful. Their lives weren't just changed because, oh, there he was, there's God speaking to me. But because it was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. And God said to Jeremiah, I created you, Jeremiah. You were created in my image. I have purpose for you. I created you. I created you in my image. And I have purpose for you. Listen, this should help us today. Because God created you. God created you in his image. And God created you with purpose. You don't have to live a purposeless life. He has a plan, in other words. He has something for you. God has something he wants you to accomplish. Creation wasn't just for the fun of it. Your life isn't just because. There's a reason for your existence, and I don't know. Maybe there's somebody listening online. I hope Brother Glenn, I'd just rather Brother Glenn not tell me how many listened, if it's a low number, all right, or watched. But maybe somebody's listening who is living a life that without purpose or doesn't realize God created them with purpose. Maybe there's a Christian who's watching or here who just feels like they wake up in the morning and like, why continue? Why go? We know Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Purpose. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, or purpose. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Hold on. I thought I was created in God's image. So why do I have to be conformed to his image if I'm already created in his image? Well, there's this little three-letter word problem that has marred the image of God, and that three-letter word problem is sin. I was created in the image of God, but I've sinned, and that's marred that image, and now I've got to be conformed to his image. But I praise God that he didn't just create me in his image, watch me mess up and say, okay, fine, I created you in my image. You messed up. You're on your own. He said, I created you in my image. You're broken. You've fallen apart. You're purposeless, but I've got purpose for you still. Let me pick up the pieces, put them together, and conform you to the image of my son still. That's how awesome our God is. He's a good God. If you've messed up, say amen. Oh, there's only a handful of us in here. There's people watching on TV. They've got to hear that there's 100 people in here today. If you've messed up, say amen. Amen. If God's put you back together, say amen. 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 James 3 says we're made after his similitude. Colossians 3:10, we were fashioned after his image, but we sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have a soul. You have a spirit. You have a body. You were made in his likeness. You have a free will. You were made in his likeness. God breathed into you the breath of life. You're breathing his breath. You were made in his likeness. But you're ugly. You ugly. What's that cheer? U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. You ugly. Yeah, you ugly. I said that to a friend. I didn't know that my friend knew it. And my friend said back to me, M-A-M-A, how do you think you got that way? Yo mama. Yeah, yo mama. Mom, if you're watching, I'm a beautiful person. I got that way because of you. I love you, Mom. All right. I'm not going to tell you which friend that is so you don't call him up and yell at him. But You were created something beautiful after the image of God, but you've made that image ugly because of your sin. But God says to be conformed to the image of Christ, here's what you got to do. Go to Colossians 2:6. Colossians 2:6. So I started with 5 pages. I have 1.5 left. So we're almost there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says here, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord. If you've received Christ, Jesus the Lord, say amen. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. But we would say it this way. Don't talk the talk, walk the talk. Or if you're going to call yourself a Christian, act like it. Act like it. If you believe God created you for a purpose, well, you're not going to fulfill that purpose, God's purpose, if you're living for your own purpose. You were created for God's purpose. You weren't created for worldly living. You weren't created for this world. It's entertainment. Al Wells said, I think it was Al Wells. What's the dorm named after? Art Wilson. Art Wilson. Art Wilson said this. Brother Joel, do you remember Art Wilson? I don't know if you guys were there during that time. Art Wilson said this. The boat can be in the water, but the water shouldn't be in the boat. And we're not just here. We're created by God. We're created in his image, and we're created for a purpose. Listen, I'm wicked, you're wicked, and we need to get to the place where we see ourselves for who we are, and we see God for who he is, and we need to get back to the place where we say, wow, God, you are awesome. You are amazing. That's why Isaiah said, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. That's why Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. That's why David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, meaning God's mindful of you. What an encouraging thought. David was overwhelmed by it, but praise the Lord for the truth that God is mindful of you every single day of your life. He still has purpose for you despite your circumstances. He has purpose for those circumstances even. I love the song, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And that's what we got to do. Follow that purpose. Back in Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. God told Jeremiah his purpose. I have ordained thee a prophet. I want you to preach the word of the nations. Jeremiah came up with an excuse, verse 6. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Well, God had an answer for his excuse. Verses 7 through 8. God touched his lips. He did the same thing to Isaiah. When Isaiah came up with excuses. Verse 7 of Jeremiah 1, but the Lord said to me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak, be not afraid of their faces, for I will, am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto him, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. I'll equip you. Yeah, you fall short because you've marred that ugly image, but or you made that image ugly, I should say. But I'll equip you. That's all we need. That's all you need. Because we've already established the fact that God is powerful. He's powerful enough to use you. And if you can be used, if I can be used by God to accomplish anything, I'd say that's power. Amen? No, what I'm saying is this. Like for example, the excuse that people have made. Outdoor knocking. I've ran into this a couple times where somebody said, I don't believe in the inspired word of God. I don't believe that the word of God is perfect because it was written by man, and man is sinful. Man is sinful. And over the centuries, you have centuries of several different authors from several different continents at several different times somehow being used by God to write a perfect word. I don't think so. And I've said, so you're saying man's inability can supersede God's capability? Yes, we're sinners. Yes, they were sinners. Yes, they're unable, but God is able. If God can say, let there be light, and there was light, and he could form light out of darkness, I'm pretty sure God can preserve his word when he says, I'm going to preserve my word. And if that's true, then God's powerful enough to use you and me. And I know there's just a handful of us here, and I know there's a handful watching, but God's powerful enough to take that and make something great out of that. Through the difficulties, the circumstances, the disappointments, the downers, the struggles, I believe God's capable of doing so. He used 12 men to turn the world upside down. I'm pretty sure he can use us. And here's what you got to remember. It's his purpose. Go to Jeremiah 20 and we're done. Jeremiah 20. It's not your purpose. Listen, it's not my purpose. The reason we can have confidence in God accomplishing a lot is because it's his purpose. In Jeremiah 20, verse 7, Jeremiah was ready to quit. But Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. No one's with me. There's no one here. There's no one coming to my preaching. There's no one helping. I'm doing this alone. I'm by myself. I want to quit. I want to give up. It's hard. It's not what I thought it was going to be. It's not all it was cracked up to be. God didn't give Jeremiah any rosy pictures. God said, they're going to laugh at you. Be not afraid of their faces. But still, Jeremiah is ready to quit. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not. I'm done. I quit. I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I know I was creating God's image. I know God gave me purpose, but I'm done. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I couldn't help myself. No matter how hard it was, I just kept going. I got more burdened by not doing what I was supposed to do than burdened by doing what I was supposed to do. Jeremiah said, it was hard doing what I was supposed to do. I was in derision daily, but it was harder not doing what I was supposed to do. That was more conviction on me and more burdening on my heart than not sticking with it. Or than sticking with it. See, when God created you in his image for a purpose, he set it up so you're miserable by not serving his purpose. Yeah. So just, as you bow your heads and you close your eyes at this time, in him, we live and move and have our being. In him, we have purpose. Are you in him? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you don't, you've got to get that settled. If you do know Christ as your Savior, do you fail to have purpose sometimes? You've got to get back to the basics and remember he's in control. Nothing comes as a surprise to him. He's on his throne. He created with a purpose. So whose purpose are you living for? Yours, the world's, your own comfort, your own desires, looking for what's easiest, looking for what's more comfortable. For God's. Even in the uncomfortable moments, you're better off in God's hands and in his will than trying to create comfort for yourself, but what's easy for yourself and out of God's will.